Good morning. It is 10 a.m., April 29, 2024, and I call this meeting to order of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Howard-Hoffert and Julie Fedorchak. So we have a quorum. It's very significant, but I don't really have any new details that are new, but just so concerning what EPA and other federal agencies too, but most recent was last week with a bunch of new EPA rules, and it just seems like almost an intentional effort to destroy the electric grid in America. And I don't know, you don't want to assign thoughts like that to somebody, but I don't know how they can view the world, the country as they're viewing it. And so I guess the fight will rage on, and I'm confident that North Dakota, as well as other states, will do a good job of fighting these things in court, and millions of dollars will be wasted, and years will pass by. We will lose a lot of baseload power during the lawsuit, but I expect that we will ultimately win, and sad that we have to go through so much to defend the electric grid in America, but that is the regulators that we have in D.C. So that's the extent of my opening comments. Commissioner Haugenhofer, did you have comments?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head, Commissioner Christman. It was very discouraging to see what came out last week, but it's also, what I applaud is those people who are very in tune to it, out there speaking out against it. We have, I think, some plans and a lot of work to do to inform people the impact of this. So other than that, the end of the month, as I told you, I was always going to plug Call Before You Dig, not only this month, but going forward. If you don't know what's underground, please call Before You Dig. That's all I have.
Okay. Commissioner Fedorchak, did you have any comments before we do the pledge?
Yes, I do. Actually, I was going to remind you of the pledge, but I also have been focused on those EPA rules and thinking about them, and wanted to talk a little bit more even about what has come out since it came out since our last meeting. But the mercury and air toxins standard rule that they have developed is clearly targeted directly at the North Dakota lignite industry. It's attempting to establish a higher standard for emissions reductions, which isn't achievable with technology today and has no measurable health benefit whatsoever. They already meet all the requirements set by Congress for on health-related issues. So this rule is single-handedly targeting lignite coal in North Dakota and our mine-to-mouth coal operations and power plants, which are, it's important to note, are running in the peak times when we're seeing shortages in the grid in MISO and SPP. Those facilities are running at max capacity. So we are simply not prepared to do without those facilities today. And, or, you know, anytime in the near future, those are being relied upon on the regular. The greenhouse gas rule, they adjusted it a little bit. They extended the time frame for compliance from 2030 to 2032 after strong feedback from all over the country, from industry, from grid operators. From NARUC even said, you know, these rules aren't achievable with technology today. So they gave two more years for that technology to develop, which is really, you know, not nearly enough. And then they're requiring it for all existing coal-fired facilities. And as Randy said, that's going to result in potentially, because that technology isn't available or proven yet, folks that are looking at their coal resources will probably start looking to replace them. So it's very detrimental to coal fire power. And it also requires that any new gas that's being built would have to have carbon capture and storage by 2032. Again, so we are in desperate need of more dispatchable resources right now in our electric grid throughout the country. And the EPA is basically saying, if you're going to build dispatchable resources, the ones that are available, which is coal, natural gas, and nuclear, well, nuclear takes about 8 to 10 years. Gas could be up and running in a much shorter time. But if utilities are looking at investing in that, they're looking at having to add carbon capture and storage by 2032. So a huge deterrent for investing in those kind of resources. And then the carbon residuals rule that they passed last week would require some of our facilities to go back and dig up their existing storage facilities and rebuild them. Facilities that have been closed, permitted and closed by the North Dakota Health Department and monitored by them. North Dakota meets all the requirements for clean air and water and does a phenomenal job, our state health department. And it just makes zero sense for the EPA to come in and create these rules that, again, will jeopardize the grid, jeopardize the power that we all depend on, increase costs for citizens, and really provide no measurable benefit in terms of health improvements or environmental improvements for the citizens. So it's really disturbing. Our attorney, Jack, is working with Drew Wrigley in the Attorney General's office on some complaints and some active opposition to this on behalf of the state of North Dakota. And the agency here will be, you know, deeply involved in that because of the impact to reliability and affordability for our customers. So that's it for me on that.
Well, thank you for those comments. And before we move into our agenda items, would you all please join me in pledging our allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. On our consent agenda, we have 6 items, and I would move approval of those items plus the minutes of the previous meetings.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, I would just like to make some comments on it. As you see from the consent item, it has to do with Northern States Power in their advanced determination of prudence applications that they have filed. they submitted an application of withdrawal, and the reason for that is because we have our integrated resource plan, which is new. And when looking at them, their request and having a work session with my fellow commissioners, we feel that having the integrated resource plan in which they have filed with us, it's cost effective. The information that they will submit in their integrated resource plan will cover the discussion that we would have on these advanced determination of prudence. It will be a time for us as the commission and staff to really vet their integrated resource plan and determine as we work through that, what's the most efficient or where we stand. So the overall reason, because we have this integrated resource plan, I know I'm repeating myself, is they would go hand in hand. And to really save time, staff time, their time, and cost, we decided to accept this withdrawal, and we will vet their integrated resource plan. So that's the purpose of it.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. Commissioner Haldenhofer.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission Central Specialties Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number DM-23-303.
Second.
Thank you. At our last commission meeting, this came before us, this consent agreement, and we as a commission denied it. And we felt that due to the violation, the penalty was not sufficient. And just to recap a little bit about this case is that the alleging the violation against Central Specialties Incorporated, that they did put in, they called to do the work. They extended it several times. When they finally did the excavation, they didn't extend it. But in doing so, they hit a high-pressure steel natural gas pipeline. And the initial assessment was $1,000 for the violation, and then also $1,000 for their history. And in the initial consent, there was a consent agreement to suspend $1,000. And we as a commission felt that that was not sufficient based on the history and the times that they called before you dig, and then when there was an extension needed, they failed. So we denied it. We felt that that $1,000 should not be suspended. So they've reached a new consent agreement, and CSI is assessed a $2,000 civil penalty, and they shall remit that amount payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 business days. And based on this new consent agreement and the violation that occurred, I do support this consent agreement.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission issue a notice of public input sessions and public hearing in Otter Tail Power Company 2023 electrical rate increases application case number PU-23-342.
Second.
On November 2nd, Otter Tail filed a notice for change in rates for their electrical service. Otter Tail proposes a $17.36 million or 8.43% increase in its annual North Dakota electric revenues. Public input sessions will be held on June 20th, 2024 at 12 o'clock p.m. Central Time and June 20th, 2024 at 5:30 Central Time here in the Commission Hearing Room. A public hearing is scheduled to begin on July 29th, 2024 at 8:30 a.m. Central Time in the Commission Hearing Room. The issues to be considered in this proceeding are: what is the value of Otter Tail Power's property use and useful for the service and convenience for the public in North Dakota? What is Otter Tail's rate of return on its property use and useful for the service and convenience for the public in North Dakota? What is just and reasonable rate of return? What rates and charges are necessary to provide a just and reasonable rate of return on Otter Tail Power's property? And are their rate schedules designed in such a manner that they result in a basis of change to its customers that is just and reasonable without undue discrimination? The public is encouraged to review the public input sessions electronically. The commission will receive public information through the following methods: in person, as stated, virtually or video conference, in writing, telephonically, and then petitioners to intervene are governed by North Dakota Administrative Code. However, the commission encourages anyone wishing to become a party in this proceeding to file a petition to intervene as early in the process as allowed. Anyone wishing to become a party should file a petition to intervene by May 20th, 2024.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission Lund Oil Incorporated Weights and Measures Enforcement Case Number WM23-354.
Second.
Thank you. Again, this was a weights and measure filing in which there was a violation, and I'll just recap it a little bit. Lund, the inspector went out to Lund Oil Incorporated in Watford City, and based upon it, they found a tank that was in violation. They removed it, they tagged it, they informed the company. They went out there, this propane tank wasn't fixed, they put it back into service. This went back and forth without it being fixed. Staff again brought it out for use without it being fixed. The inspector noticed again twice it was out there. So they were in complete violation on not fixing it and bringing the tank back out. And in the original consent agreement, the commission staff did not agree with the penalty based on the numerous violations that was occurred by this one company. So we denied that consent agreement. A consent agreement went back. There was between the staff and the company, and a new consent agreement has been reached. And Lund is assessed a civil penalty of $750 payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 business days. And I support this. I want to thank the staff for going back, recognizing we as a commission felt that this was a severe violation, moving that defective equipment back and forth, and I accept this consent agreement.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
All right. Guess I'm up.
Oh, Commissioner. Good observation.
All right. I just have two items. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Oliver Wind 4, LLC, 200 megawatt Oliver Wind for Energy Center, Oliver County Siting Application, case number PU-23-317, and Oliver Wind 4, LLC, 345 kV Transmission Line, Oliver and Mercer Siting Application, case number PU-23-318.
Second.
Thank you, Sherry. So this is a two projects. It's a wind farm, 200 megawatt wind farm, and about an 18-mile transmission line to get the power from the wind farm to the grid. So the wind project consists of up to 73 wind turbines and three alternative locations. The project will interconnect to the grid at Basin Electric Power Cooperative's new 345 kV Leland Olds substation in Mercer County using that transmission project. So we had one hearing for both of these projects and pretty good participation at that hearing, actually. Oliver Wind has a buyer for the output of the project, and they have executed or have pending easements and land agreements necessary for the siting of this wind project and associated facilities. Let's see here. Of the transmission line, 10 miles are located in Oliver County, 8.7 are located in Mercer County. Oliver Wind 4 anticipates having this project in place on December of 2024. And the total approximate cost to that transmission project is $45 million. I'll go through sort of a few of the key things. So they've done all the wildlife studies for the wind project, all the wildlife studies, trees and shrubs, cultural resources, historic resources. They've completed all of that for this project. They're developing a wild voluntary wildlife conservation strategy. They've consulted with about 20 state and federal agencies and incorporated their feedback into the plan addressing exclusion areas and avoidance areas. There's no turbines that will be located in exclusion areas, and they've addressed all the impacts to the various avoidance areas that might be impacted. So based on the totality of the evidence presented, the commission finds that Oliver Wind 4 has cited the project to minimize potential impacts to wildlife. They have done the sound tests, and the project meets the sound level requirements at all the receptacles. They've also done the flicker shadow flicker tests, and the project is expected to be below the accepted 30 hours per year at all the receptors. They are going to install an aircraft detection lighting system in compliance with FAA requirements. And as I stated, they have a generator interconnection agreement with already executed with SPP. In terms of the transmission line, there are no exclusion areas located within the project. They've addressed all the avoidance areas. They also have a voluntary wildlife conservation strategy in place for this. They've so really all the issues on the transmission line, they've worked through those as well. They have a decommissioning plan and a decommissioning, or they will file a decommissioning plan and financial assurances in compliance with North Dakota Administrative Code. So, and they have undergone an agreement with the North Dakota Game and Fish to mitigate any, North Dakota Game and Fish and the Ag Commissioner. They've worked out an agreement to mitigate any of the outstanding wildlife impacts that couldn't be addressed on the front end or mitigated with, you know, physical changes. So with that, the order requires that if modifications are made to the wind project layout, they have to complete additional class 3 cultural resource studies. They have to do additional wetland determinations, sound and shadow flicker impacts. And for 3 of the areas that are identified as potentially geologically unstable, Oliver Wind has to file the results of field verification of those locations prior to commencing construction in those areas. And then the same applies to the transmission project corridor. If they make any changes, they have to do the cultural resource studies and wetland studies and file them with us prior to making those changes. So with that, this project has received a conditional use permit from the locals for both the wind facility and the transmission line, and they meet all the requirements established by the legislature for a permit. And so I'm ready to support this application.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just want to bring up, and Commissioner Fedorchak said, between the U.S. Fish and Wildlife and the, you know, North Dakota Ag, the mitigation plan, this is new. In talking with the staff, I really like what I'm going to say, the amount of money that's going into the mitigation plan, that staff assured me that they're going to be following it, that the money is going to follow the plan in the areas that have been identified, and that that gets mitigated. So I really like that. I'm assured that we're watching that on how that plays out. And so I'm comfortable with that on based on further, you know, communication with the staff and the plan there. So
is there any further discussion?
Yes, I have a question and some comments, but finding of fact number 91 on page 16, I didn't catch this until very close to the meeting. I just want to clarify when it says that during construction, road speed within the project will be limited to 25 miles per hour to reduce wildlife collisions and reduce dust emissions. I'm of the belief that means of the developer and their contractors, not residents who live there or others who decide to pass through there. I'm assuming they're not able to set a speed limit for all the rest of us. This is for them. Is that how you understand it?
That's how I understand it, too, and that is a new thing. I don't recall that from previous projects.
Yeah. So.
But I like the piece on the dust because I'm sure that that's an irritant to all the folks living there.
I do too, but I just, now we've created a record of this that I can see residents who live there and need to run to town may not always want to drive 25 miles an hour.
Yeah. You know.
But maybe some should.
Is there any further discussion?
Beyond that, though, I do have some mixed feelings on the case. And it gets borderline because we're expected to know things that aren't in evidence. And I'm not talking about going out and getting ex parte information. Just the experience of being in this job and being part of this process. And I guess an example that comes to mind, if we had a solar development application in front of us, we really don't need some with no storage included in it. We really don't need someone to tell us that this isn't going to do much at night. You know, we know that. I've expressed some concern on some previous facility additions that I thought were going to cause significant impacts to the grid. This one I see is that likelihood is far less likely. So I'm not going there. There are a couple of points of irritation in the application that I'm just highlighting for the company's information, really. And I'll just throw out two examples, but I could provide more. They mentioned that the Westmoreland mine is producing coal for some area power plants that are not only not producing anymore, that have already been torn down. Westmoreland hasn't produced coal in many years. Where do they even get that? They say there are no gravel pits in Oliver County. I don't know how many there are, but there's one clearly visible from a busy state highway, and it's within their study area, probably less than 1,000 feet from their corridor. But these things aren't, it wouldn't matter within our jurisdictional area of determination whether Westmoreland is producing coal or not, or whether there's gravel pits in Oliver County. So it just frustrates me when things like that are in the application. But it's not for us to be deciding. The other area I want to discuss, though, is people who actually reside within the footprint are very close to it. And again, you know, you can't live in or very near a proposed development like this without sensing opinions. And I definitely believe that most people who are going to live within this area do not want it. Some are under pressure from non-resident landlords to not say anything because the landlords want it. Some are even unenthusiastic project participants, but once they saw that their home is going to be mostly surrounded, they decided they may as well get paid. And so technically they're participants. I will say that even I'm reconsidering my own future plans of how close I want to live. But after many hours of contemplation, I cannot say again that the adverse impacts to the grid are clear enough. to deny this project. And in the case of electric transmission and conversion facilities, unlike pipeline siting, the legislature has continued to keep a lot of focus on local control through local ordinances. And in this case, this county seems to look very favorable at this. And so with those comments being made, I believe this case merits approval based on our jurisdiction granted to the Public Service Commission.
Are there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. I move the commission adopt the order in Caliber North Dakota LLC transfer certificates number 164-229-permits number 176-239, citing application case number PU-24-79.
Second.
Okay, so in February, Caliber North Dakota LLC and Valence Natural Gas Solutions filed with the commission a joint application to transfer certificates number 164 and 229 and permits number 176 and 239 to Valence. We issued a notice of opportunity for hearing and received no comments or requests for a hearing. The issues are whether Valence agrees and is able to comply with the terms and conditions of these permits and certificates and whether the transfer is compatible with public interest. The affidavit of Stuart Wilson, president and CEO of Valence, states that they have the financial and technical qualifications to own and operate the facilities, and they agree to assume the rights and obligations of the permits and the certificates. And they have filed to do business in the state of North Dakota, as evidenced by corporate papers filed with the commission as part of this application. So having completed those steps, the commission determines that this transfer is in the public interest.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
We're making a pretty good time. I want to go through a few announcements, not very many, but this afternoon, we have a really busy day planned. We have an informal hearing with Otter Tail Power, case number PU-24-76 regarding their renewable energy credits at 2. And then at 3, we have a work session, actually a couple of them with multiple cases. One is NSP. And their DOE settlements, case number PU-23-364, the DOE settlement involves payments for the fact that the federal government has not come through with a nuclear waste storage facility. And then immediately thereafter, or there before, I'm not sure which order we'll do these, but I think NSP will be first at 3 o'clock, and then MDU, this is an applied digital case, that facility down at Allendale. It involves cases PU-23-320, 321, and 322. And then I just want to highlight, today is one of our regular meetings. It's on a not regular Wednesday day. The next one is also not on a Wednesday. It is Thursday, May 23rd at 10 o'clock right here. That concludes the announcements. We will stand in recess and take questions from the press.